I want us to look this morning at Psalm 46 in God's Word. Psalm 46, verse 1 and verse 2. As I said last Sunday, this is the second part of really Mother's Day. So I still want to, ladies, just kind of focus on you. It doesn't mean the guys can't kind of jump in and gain some benefit from this. We certainly will, especially with what I want to talk about this morning. Because I want to talk about anxiety and the things in life that just are producing that, because biblically those things are going to be increasing. So this is a huge, hugely important message. So let's look at Psalm 46, 1 and 2. I want to read from the New Living Translation. Normally I read from the New American Standard. If you want to know what I follow from the pulpit, New American Standard is very literal in its translation of the word in the original languages. I really like it. But also enjoy the New Living Translation. It is great for devotional reading. And if you're struggling maybe with your version of the Bible, I encourage you to try the New Living Translation. I think you'll really enjoy it. But Psalm 46, verse 1 and verse 2, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So, in light of that, we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. That is a huge statement. Mountains crumbling into the sea and you're not concerned, you're not worried, that's huge. If you think about that, you're like, that's big. And so, you know, when you apply that over to motherhood, motherhood is really a journey through change. Ladies, would you agree with that? Those of you who've had the privilege of bringing a child into the world, even if you've adopted a child, motherhood means change. Your body, if you're having a child physically, your body changes as you know, the growth process takes inside of you. I remember Catherine going through all that with both the boys. Your schedule changes as you begin to build your days, not around you, but around the needs of that little one who is totally dependent upon you. Your outlook changes because now you've got somebody who is totally dependent upon you. And so you begin to focus upon the world that all of a sudden you're like, my child's is going to grow up in this world. My grandchildren are going to grow up in this world. And you just begin to think about all those things. And there are a lot of changes that are taking place today that are causing a huge amount of potential anxiety and tension. And what the Word is wanting to get into us this morning is that God is the only anchor that we have that will hold us and keep us steady and cause us to and help us to not live anxious, fearful lives. So let's just kind of jump into that. The first thing I want you to notice this morning is this. There are three anxiety-producing changes for mothers. Guys, you can kind of get into this as we go along. But primarily for moms, there are three huge anxiety-producing changes. Number one, the pace of life has increased. I don't think any of us would disdain progress. I mean, I like progress as much as anybody. I enjoy indoor plumbing. How about you? I have no desire. You know, people talk at times, well, you know, it's just been so great to be back in Grandma and Papaw's day, you know, and going to church. Let me tell you something. Grandma and Papaw used a funeral fan to try to keep the sweat from just wetting down their clothes. Quite frankly, I'm glad I'm not there. They also had to go out back to the outhouse and there was only a one-seat provision, if you understand what I'm saying. And so you just kind of got in line, or are the woods thick enough? I don't dive any more than that. All I'm simply saying is I like right where I am with regards to a lot of things regarding the past. Washing machines over rub boards. Ladies, can I get an amen on that? You know, so a lot of things have happened in progress that are not bad. But here's the truth in your outline. Progress has speeded up our lives in every area except dying. You know, because of all of the advances in medical science, and because of technology, people actually die slower, last longer than what we used to. And so, you know, that can be either a good thing or a bad thing. And I know that you've all seen the bullet trains on TV. Those things just, you know, just travel incredible speeds, 150, 175 miles an hour. And the thing is, one of the things you have to understand, which I never really thought about except in, you know, doing reading for this and everything, is that if you want to go someplace and you want to sightsee on the trip, you don't take a bullet train. When you're doing 175 miles an hour, you cannot take in the scenery. You know, everything is like a blur. So, but that, bring it over into our daily lives. Look at the truth in your outline. The faster your life, the more difficult to bring your life into focus. And that's the reason why our world today is producing so much anxiety, because we're going so fast. Someone has well said, this is a quote, "It is a principle of life that when the pace of life is so fast that you cannot stop and focus, your anxiety level will increase." Why? Because you are moving so fast. The pace of life will increase your anxiety. So one of the things we need to do sometimes is we just need to slow down the pace. And that can help a lot with anxiety. But the second thing that produces anxiety is that decisions are becoming complex. Now, I've said this before. You know, technology has connected us to the world. You know, we live here nestled in the piney woods. But, you know, when I turn on the television, I don't just digest the things that are happening with Lufkin and Angelina County. Now every day I am exposed to the craziness of New York City. And I am pulled into the troubles of Flint, Michigan. And I have to deal with the insanity and the brutality of ISIS clear across our planet. All those things are on me, and yet I'm not living there. I'm here. You know, and one of the things I've realized, God's giving us grace for here. I don't have grace for ISIS. I don't have grace for Flint, Michigan. I don't have grace for the world. I have grace for what I am going through right here. And let me just bring this down a little bit. I don't know the last time it was that, you know, that you went shopping. I think I've shared this with you before. But guys, if you don't think about complexity, just think about going to buy shaving cream. When's the last time you did that? Did a little looking. And here's just in shaving cream, all right? Edge shaving cream alone. Are you with me? Here it is. There's extra moisturizing, extra protection, sensitive skin, extra aloe soothing, and sensitive pro relief. You can stand there for 15 minutes thinking, I'm not really sure. You know, I just want a can of shaving cream. That's all I want. You know, and then there's razor blades. There is a plethora. Here's what I found. There's Gillette Fusion, Fusion Power, Fusion Pro Glide, Fusion Pro Shield, Pro Glide, Fusion Power, Fusion Pro Shield Chill, Mach 3 Turbo, Mach 3, Sensor XL, Track 2 Plus, and Mach 3 Sensitive. Ladies, not to be left out, I know you need razor blades at different times. Well, there is Venus Breeze, Venus Embrace, Venus 3, Venus Embrace Sensitive, Venus Embrace Sensitive Swirl, Venus Embrace Pink, Venus Spa, Venus 3 Spa Breeze, Venus 3 Spa Olay. Are you kidding me? That's why there's 15 or 20 people in the shave aisle that cannot make up their mind. You know, and you just walk out and you're a nervous wreck. And then, I mean, toothbrushes, that's a whole nother level. I mean, that's just nuts. And so, you know, the complexity of life is also increasing our anxiety and our stress. And then lastly, our values are being challenged. You know, today, people are calling right wrong. And they're calling wrong right. We have people who don't even believe that there is such a thing as right and wrong. Those are the people who make these off-the-wall statements like, there's no such thing as an absolute. And I want to say, you realize you've just made an absolute statement. They're absolutely sure there's no such thing as absolutes. Now, here's the truth I want you to notice in your outline. Every value America has held to is being challenged by some group in America today. Political correctness is out of control. We are living in a society where nothing is nailed down except the conviction that nothing is going to be nailed down. We have now become a nation. I'm raising grandchildren, you're raising your children, you've got your family, in a nation where everything is plausible and nothing is certain. The White House, of course, I don't want to ride a hobby horse, but the White House has, you know, called for all schools across America to open their bathrooms to transgender students, meaning that the President of the United States wants our schools across America to require children to be able to use the bathroom that doesn't necessarily correspond to their biological sex. Then you've got Target making its announcement that all of its bathrooms are gender neutral. Not that I care all that much about what's going on in England, although I care on a certain level. England, just this last week, sent out a letter to parents telling them to encourage their four-year-old children, 4 years old, encourage your four-year-old child to choose the gender they most identify with before starting school, be it male or female. Ready for it? Or something else. Something else? That is wrong on all kinds of levels. But, and Dr. Michael Brown, Charisma Magazine, said this. Let's explain it. We have men today who identify as women. We have women who identify as men. We have whites who identify as black, and I guess vice versa, although they didn't say that. Human beings who identify as animals, such as cats, dogs, parrots. We even have people who identify as mythical dragons. Saw a picture of this. They are called other kin. We've got a whole nother level out there. And some people in America feel like that they are aliens trapped in a human body. When you thought it couldn't get worse. Here's the deal. Because this is something, this is part of the message of the church. And here's what God is teaching us. Any society that rejects God becomes cursed to embrace destruction because they have turned from the Lord of life. The Bible puts it this way: professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And we're afraid to say that in our political correct society, but that's what's happening. And today, we are calling sick healthy, and we are calling abnormal normal. Now, I want to tell you what it's doing in the psychology field. It's producing all kinds of problems, potentially. Dr. Margaret Hagen, professor of psychological and brain sciences at Boston University, stated this on the website, thepublicdiscourse.com. This is what she said. She said, without clear distinctions between the mentally disoriented and the normal population, how is diagnosis and treatment decisions supposed to be made? You understand what I'm saying? If there's nobody sick, a lot of people are going to be out of a job. You know, because everybody's well. So here's the question in your outline. When the values that have held families and society together are thrown out the window, how are mothers supposed to live? Well, the thing is, God has made us incredibly adaptable. I mean, we've got people who are living, you know, in South Texas, close to the border, and you've got people that are living in Alaska, Canada, and, you know, in all the coast states. God has given us incredible ability to adapt. But when everything starts flying off the wall, when society and values start becoming unglued and storms of change are blowing across our lives, what God has said and what you and I are understanding and what you're going to identify with this morning is every one of us, we need something in our lives that is nailed down. We need something that we can hold on to give us stability. Alvin Toffler wrote the book Future Shock. And he says that when people go through periods of rapid change, like we're going through now, he said they need what he calls islands of stability. You need some area of your life that doesn't change. And that's how anxiety gets relieved in our lives. We're in a crazy world that's changing at a rapid pace. And the thing that will help ward off all this anxiety in our life is that we realize there are some things in our lives that do not change. We have some islands of stability. And that's number two that I want to give you this morning. Three things that never change. And the first one is God's love for me and you will never change. Every day when I get up, every day when I face a crazy world, I can face the day knowing that I've got a God in heaven who made me and created me, and through my relationship with Jesus Christ, His love for me never changes. And it isn't just a touchy-feely thing. It is, I love you so much, I'm going to get in life with you, and I'm going to help you through life. I'm going to watch over, I'm going to keep you. Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. Psalm 102, verse 27, Thou art the same, and thy years will not come to an end. Why does God not change? Because He's perfect. There's no reason for God to change because God cannot improve. And so Jeremiah 31 in verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. When you are in Jesus Christ, when you stand in faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, God says, my love for you will be unchanging. Look at the truth in your outline. God never changes, so He can be trusted to do what He says. It's what theologians call God's immutability. And it's based on Psalm 102, verse 26 and 27. Even the heavens and the earth will perish, but you, O God, endure. You are the same, and your years will not come to an end. God displays His love for me and for you when He disciplines us when we do wrong. But God also expresses and displays His love for you and me when by mercy and by grace, God is long-suffering with us and He helps us. When Israel was deserving of destruction because of its sin, God was faithful to His covenant with Abraham. And this is what He said to them in Malachi 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Every one of us at one time or another have taken a stupid pill. Would you agree with that? I mean, there are times we've just done things and we look back and we say, what was I thinking? Or the problem was you weren't thinking. Or you were blinded by sin and by temptation. Every one of us have done crazy, stupid, dumb things. We have done incredibly sinful things that we would blush and be embarrassed if it was blazoned across the sky and people knew the things that we had done and the things that we have thought where our minds have been. And do you understand, it is the mercy and the grace of God. When you look back, God did not strike you. God did not discipline you and me for everything wrong we did. Because He says in the book of Psalms, if I have, there's none of you that would survive. And so there are so many times that because of His love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, God lets many things go by. He doesn't discipline us for everything. Can I get an amen on that? Lord, thank you. You are so incredibly loving. He loves us who are in Christ on our good days and on our bad days. And so the truth in your outline, God's love is not based on our performance, but on His character to honor our faith in Christ's death for our sins. And what that means is when you are in Christ, no matter what happens in 2016, no matter what kind of decrees come out of the White House, no matter what happens across the world, God says, I will not stop loving you. I will love you. Do you know what it means for God to love you? It means that God says, I will provide for you. Because I love you, I will take care of you as I do the birds of the field. Because I love you, I will guard you. And God not only will keep evil from coming in your life, but God will guard you from making many errors in your life, and God will not permit you to do a lot of things that would hurt you. Why? Because He loves you. And He says, I will guide you because I love you. No matter what you go through, God is with you, He is for you, and He is working all things to you're good. So as the world gets further and further away from God, as the weather gets crazier, would you agree it's getting crazy? It's getting nuts. And it is because God is beginning to withdraw his hand. He is seeking to get people's attention. And as fear increases in our world, people are going to get more and more fearful. You and I in Christ have an island of stability. And that island of stability is God is not moving away from me. No matter what's happening in the world, God is staying with me. That's why Romans 8 and 28 in the Message says, nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, unthinkable or thinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love. You can go to bed tonight and every night confident if you're in Christ of the fact that tomorrow morning when you get up, God will greet you with a smile. He has not changed his attitude about you. Give God a hand clap of praise today. And not only does God's love never change, number two, his word never changes. His word doesn't change. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. It'll stand forever. That is not so with men. It doesn't happen with men and what men write. You know, science books take on average 3 to 4 years to write. When they come out, they're already out of date. You know, it's already old stuff. Some of it already needs to be changed. Why? Because of all the breakthroughs in science and technology and medicine. But here's what I want you to know. Listen to this. As the world more and more follows the sin of Adam and Eve. What was the sin of Adam and Eve? The sin of Adam and Eve was they doubted what God told them. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that day you will die. And they doubted that. That's why they ate of the forbidden fruit. And then they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's exactly what's happening today. Men are living, and when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it simply means that you embrace and you take to yourself the sin that you determine what's right and you determine what's wrong. That's why what's coming out of the White House. That's why what is happening in America. That all the values are being turned upside down because we are living in a society that determines, we will determine what's right, we will determine what's wrong. It's like what happened in the Old Testament. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. Here's what I want you to understand. Sin is always progressive. It is always progressive. Now, here's what that means. It means that as men make more and more decisions contrary to the word, as our country gets away, our leadership gets away from the stability of the word of God, this is what God is going to bless. And as men get further and further away from this, and they make all those decisions are going to increase in error. Their decisions are going to get worse and worse and more problematic. Here's the truth, don't you see in the outline? The world around us is basing life on popular opinion, and it's going to create huge stress in our world in the decades to come. But here's our island of stability. Psalm 119, verse 152. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. God's word, when I go to the word, God's word is filled with eternal principles. There are things in the word that they are timeless. They don't change. God's physical laws don't change. His moral laws don't change. I was reading Alan Shepard years ago, one of the first astronauts, when he was getting ready to go into space. He was asked by a news reporter, and they asked him, what are you depending on? You know what his answer was? It's timeless. He said, I'm depending on the promise that God's laws will not change, his physical laws. I'm counting on that when I get out into space. And the reality is, if you ignore God's physical laws, what happens? You get hurt. You know, you mix certain chemicals together and put them in your eyes, you'll go blind. You get up on in a tall tree or on a high building and you jump off, you don't defy the law of gravity. The law of gravity will break you because you will come down with a thud. And so here's what Jesus said. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. And God has also established these moral laws of the universe. Look what he says. Here's the truth in your outline. When we ignore God's immutable laws, we don't break them, they break us. And it causes stress and worry and guilt and anger. Isn't the nation in an uproar? Isn't our world in an uproar? Why? Because we are defying the laws of God. We're defying his moral laws. And whenever you do that, anger, guilt, stress, conflict, all those things are because we're turning away from him. Let me just say this. There are so many problems in society that would disappear if men would just obey the laws of God. Let me give you one. Sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, plague our planet for one reason. Why are they everywhere? Because men are breaking God's law of sex outside of marriage. Do you understand? If all sex was only in the context of marriage, STDs, AIDS, and gonorrhea would disappear. It would disappear. You know, if you just do what God says. So here's the truth in your outline. As in the Garden of Eden, man's greatest temptation is to doubt God's word. You know, and people get around today, they come up with this thing, well, that's just your interpretation. Really? Seriously? Which is very strange, since, as I understand, a stop sign doesn't have a lot of interpretations. If it says stop, that's pretty clear. God's Ten Commandments say don't lie, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. I think God would ask us, what part of that is not clear? I mean, that's pretty laid out. So listen to Matthew 5:24. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So here's what God is saying. If you want a stable life in 2016, if you want to be able to get away from anxiety and worry and fear, you make the word of God the foundation of your life. If you want to handle the stress that our world is going to have in increasing doses, as lives fall apart, businesses are going to collapse, nations are going to crack and splinter. God says, build your life on my word, because when you're standing on my word, when you walk with me, I will be with you, and I will bring a blessing in your life, and I will watch over and keep you. I will guide you as the world gets crazier and crazier, which brings us to my third truth that never changes, and that is God's purpose for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart, and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. All right, now ladies, listen. God simply told Jeremiah, he said, you were born with a plan. And that's what God is saying to me. You and I, every one of us here, came into this world with a plan that was already designed for us by the Lord. And so our main statement needs to be, God, what is it that you want me to do? And ladies, what I want you to understand is, there are two plans for your life, God's plan and your plan. And when you begin to follow your plan, there are two things that are going to frustrate you. Number one, you can't see the future. And that means when you live life by your plan alone, there are going to be times you're going to have to change your plans because the unexpected is going to happen. And you're just like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was going to happen. And so when you live by your plan, you're going to get frustrated. And then number two, you won't have everything you need to pull it off. You won't have the provision. But when it is God's plan, God says, I've already chosen a plan for you. And I've chosen my plan based on everything I know about the future. And I've got all the resources that are needed to bless your life and to take care of you as you live out my plan for your life. So here's the truth in your outline. God has a plan for your life that will work, and it's the only plan that will make you truly happy. Let me give you two things to remember as we close this morning. Number one, you can miss God's plan for your life. And I want you to think about this. As a mother, as a wife, as a woman, you can miss God's plan. Millions of people do it every year. There are people who live and die never living out the reason God put them here on this planet. And it all begins by you knowing that you know that you know that you have made the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior of your soul. That you know that you have said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I know that I am a sinner. I can't see the future. I need your forgiveness. I need your help. I need you to guide me and to provide for me. And I want to follow your plan for my life. I'm just believing that there are some women here today that that's what you need to pray to the Father. And the second thing I want to share with you is this. Wasted years can be restored. This is such a blessing from the Lord's word. Proverbs 19, verse 21. You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. What does that mean? It means that God says, my plan for you will never change. Maybe you're in the last half of your race of life. And you say, I just realized, I feel like there's so many ways I have just wasted so much of my life. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, I only have one plan. And so whenever you say, Father, I want to ask your forgiveness and I want to live out your plan for me, God says, let's get started. Because there's only one plan. There's only one plan for your life. So Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten. There may be things and blessings that are lost that you're never going to get back again. But there are new blessings that God can bring into your life. Why? Because God's a God of a second chance. Isn't that good news? God's a God of a second chance. And he says, I want to encourage you. I want you to say yes to me. So let's go back to our text. God is our refuge and strength, a tested help in times of trouble. So we need not fear, even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble into the sea. Why? Because I'm chasing his plan for my life. I'm seeking to do what he wants me to do with my life. I am following him. I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. And ladies, what I want to ask this morning is, and guys, this is for you as well, but ladies primarily, what is it that you are afraid of? When you think about the future, what puts your stomach in a knot? So that you maybe just kind of begin to get nauseous. When you think about what causes you to tighten up and get a headache because you think, you know, if that takes place, I just don't know if I can handle that or not. Maybe there's that one particular thing that's so fearful for you. God doesn't want that to be that way for you. So David said in Psalm 56:11, I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? Don't doubt his love for you. Don't doubt his word that he's got a plan for you and his word will stabilize your life. Don't doubt his purpose for your life. Maybe you're going through a hard time and you're saying, why me? God, why me? And you get in that why me syndrome and you just begin to spiral down. God says, don't doubt that I am watching over you in the midst of your circumstances and I am working out my plan. If you will say yes to me, I will work everything to your good. So I want to invite you this morning as we have some invitational music. I want to invite you, ladies, just to come and to say, Father, I want your peace in the midst of this crazy world. I want to say no to anxiety. And that comes by me not doubting your love, not doubting your word, and not doubting your purpose for me. And I want to ask you to embrace that this morning. Accept his love, believe his word, and commit his purpose for your life. Commit to that. So would you stand together? If you come and just stand here, we're going to pray together this morning for God to relieve the anxiety of your heart, the fear that maybe you wrestle with. You just come.